that you?
You good? We talk about food. We talk about music. With musical dudes. Finger on the pulse. Snacky tunes.
All right.
Chopper,
baby. It's a chopper, baby. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half of your host, DJ Never Forget. The other half, Terry Diabolic, is putting on the cans,
yo,
as they
yo.
Call it in the biz.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. We are your host, Finger on the Pulse, heritageradionetwork.com.
And that was just Rome written upside down.
I think it's called Rome Was Written Upside Down. No?
No. It's Rome, parentheses, written upside down.
And why would you play that song to
Because me? That is live from one of the webisodes for Dinner with the Band. And the Less I Fab actual episode is premiering tomorrow night at 11 p.m. And they will be joining us in the studio in just a few minutes.
Seth and Andrew are on their way to play some tunes, talk about food
and music. We're going to get that sushi story. We're gonna bring it to the public preview.
I mean, it's Sid's story, but we'll bring it there. Anyway, yeah. But we also have one of our favorite people from the West Coast, and today, Mr. Paul Tao.
Hello there.
P. Tao.
Oh, that's a good radio voice.
That's deep.
You don't really sound that like that in real life, though.
Can you give me Coming At You Live?
Coming At You Live from HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I had a college radio show when I was back in school, but it was the worst time slot ever. It was a 4 to 6 a.m., so I quit after one semester.
That was I had the 6 to 8 a.m. on like a Tuesday morning.
See, that's not bad because you can wake up early, but 4 to 6, it's too late to stay up and too early to wake up.
We're getting notes from our listeners that it sounds echoey. Maybe the producer, the rec tech and Jack Inslee can fix that. I don't know if it's on our end or if it's just a stream, but there's a note.
Anyway, so really excited about the episode coming out this week. I would say probably the most exciting ending to the episodes this season. The last 30 seconds is really just a bing, bang, boom, if you will.
So, Paul, what brings you to New York?
I'm out here just working and taking meetings and stuff.
And where do you work?
I am Sound Records, the best record label in the world, pretty much.
For all of you who remember, we had Lewis from Fool's Gold on a few weeks ago. If you missed it, you can check it out on our podcast, which you can find through iTunes. And he played a lot of great African music, and it was right before the CMJ show, which was fantastic.
Yeah, we put out their album at the end of September. We're also putting out their album in the UK in January, so we're really excited about that.
Yeah, we were talking, I think last night, about the logistics of getting a band that size out to the UK. And just, I mean, it's worth it because their live show is amazing, yeah. But it's 7 people?
Well, normally the band is anywhere between 8 to 12 people. So we've slimmed it down, quote unquote, to about 7 for the UK.
What's that discussion like? Who gets slimmed?
That's kind of internal. We try not to get involved because we don't want to be like, you just bang the drum a little, you know,
you play a triangle and you are not,
worth a flight, hotel, food per diem.
So you don't have to be the asshole about it. Someone else can be.
Exactly. We'll leave that up to, we'll let them talk amongst themselves. As long as we just tell them, just keep it small.
Yeah. So who are you excited about now? As much as you can talk about, what bands are on your radar?
Right now we're just doing a lot of Fool's Gold stuff, but we're working on a 7-inch series that we're putting out next year. It's going to be all LA bands. It's like split 7 inches. We're really excited about it because it's, one of the first real local things that we're doing with a bunch of bands like Edward Sharp and Dead Man's Bones and Rainbow Arabia and a bunch of bands like that. So
that's great. And when these come out, how can we get them?
It's going to be starting out in February. It's going to be all splits, and it's going to be once a month or so for the next 5 or 6 months after that. It's going to be a local thing. But, so out here in New York, it might be at a store or two, but it'll mainly be L.A.
Mostly L.A. Well, that's cool.
I'm going to do it.
For the scene, the local scene.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why don't you play another song?
You want me to play another song?
Yeah, we actually have an interview with Sang Lee Farms coming up, whose produce is featured in the episode. So
That Young Garlic.
That Young Garlic, which I've never seen before. Did you know that? Have you ever seen like young garlic like in the stems?
No.
I've never seen it before either. I thought it was weird, but yeah, garlic comes with really long stems.
Weird.
Yeah.
I'm a huge garlic fan just because I'm Asian, so I cook with a lot of garlic, but I've never had that.
Yeah, I was surprised. We were actually watching Jamie Oliver, and before I had seen it, and he like had garlic, and he like it was like the long tail, and he smashed it on the table, and I was like, is that some weird cooking implement that you tie to garlic to smash it? And I was like, oh, I'm really dumb. So anyway, listening to Snacky Tunes, Les W. Fav will be joining us shortly. We got an interview with Sang Lee. Big thanks to Roberta, who keeps our belly filled with delicious pizza and salads. And what is that? Nothing. Terry Diabolic is going to play a song for us. And then up next, we're going to have Sang Lee Farms. crazy. All right, everybody. You are listening to Snacky Tunes. Andrew and Seth from Less Savvy Fav are in here. Hello, boys.
Hello. How's it going?
We are just getting Sangley Farms on there, but it's weird. We were just talking about how our Thanksgiving were, and it turns out both Andrew and I had minor surgery. I spent most of my Thanksgiving on Percocets and a haze, which was great for dealing with family.
Yeah. No, like, wonderful.
Everyone's like, I was like, I was going to be upstairs laying down. Everyone's like, I think I'm just going to need to be left alone. Need a lot of rest.
Yeah.
Just watch a lot of movies.
Anyway, that was just Fear Tigers, What Did I Do? Big shout out to Bradley D of Famous Friends for passing me that record. It really is. It's like an awesome mixtape from the 80s.
Oh, man. I see pizza coming through the window.
Yeah. Big shout out to Roberta's for sponsoring the show and for sponsoring our stomach. Anyway, so we got about a few minutes before Sangley gets on the phone. But anyway, thank you, Les Avi Fav, for coming in a little bit.
It's our pleasure.
Been working very hard on your episode that comes out tomorrow night.
I'm looking forward to it.
Are you guys watching any of the footage yet?
I did. I saw us perform Rome. And then I haven't seen the show, yo.
No. So. We're not allowed to show it to anybody before. We're like the only ones that can see it before it goes on air. But
yeah. It's really good.
What have you guys been up to since we last saw you in early September?
Just traveling.
Oh, yeah. We played...
Fun Fest, right?
We did Fun Fest in Texas.
I heard there was something about a ladder and a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, Tim brought a ladder out into the crowd.
Okay.
That story really had a... really concise.
Anyway, there's pizza flying in and everyone's eyes just got real big. Fun Fest was good and now you guys are just back in Brooklyn just hanging out.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Working on some new music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I think the last time I ran into Sid, he was like, it was right after you played that show at the Knitting Factory, and you were like, he was like, we are.
Heritage Radio Network.
Little drop right there. He was talking about like thinking about maybe starting to write some new songs. So you guys are actually writing some new music?
Yeah, we've been at it since probably July or so. We've been kind of working on it.
New album music or... like
it started out as an EP
and now
it's a release.
It's probably going to, well, I hope it gets to the point. I mean, it's obviously it's a lot easier for him and for everybody to kind of push an album than it is an EP.
Right.
You know, so I think we can get an EP out of it.
That's sweet.
We have enough bits and pieces floating around. I imagine that we'll be able to assemble something that is a proper.
I'm kind of in the strong mind that all records should either be 5 or 10 songs.
I couldn't agree more with you.
I mean, there's been some really great releases that I've heard this year that are like 14 songs and just edit, put out like a bonus disc for the super fans. But I feel like 5 is like, you know, experimental. You get 3 solid and then, you know, the 10 is your LP and that's...
I mean, even like kind of building up to this point where we are in just like writing, coming up with all this new material, and I think back to our Rome EP, which was sort of like one of my favorite records of ours. I tend to think that the EP is the way to go.
Right. Well, I mean, especially if you're an established band like you guys, where it's just you have such a long catalog and you just put 5 killer new songs to work into an already established set.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you're a young band and like... I mean, there's like EPs. I agree with you. EPs are kind of the way to go, and just do maybe like 1 EP a year or something like that, and just do 5 killer songs. And suppose like you know, you can always tell which songs are like we need one more song.
Oh no, and that's why I think that you know like when you put out an EP, let's say you go into the studio with 8 to 10 songs, and then you can sort of whittle that down to the 5 best songs instead of. I feel like occasionally we find ourselves with, you know, kind of picking through the pieces. You know, we got to come up with one more.
Gotcha. All right, I'm going to pause you guys because we have Fred from Sangley. Fred, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, man, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Okay.
Okay. First and foremost, we wanted to thank you for donating your wonderful produce to Dinner with the Band. It was fantastic.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
And just for the people who are not as familiar about Sangley, do you want to give people a little brief history? I mean, I was personally surprised to know that it was started by your uncle in the 1940s. You want to give us a brief run-through of how we got from there to where we are today?
Sure. Way back in the early 40s, actually, the farm was started by my Uncle John. After World War II, I guess in the mid-40s, my dad came back from the Pacific Theater, and he was joined by a cousin, Hugh Lee. So you have the three, John Lee, George Lee, and Hugh Lee, and they pretty much started the farm business and carried it through the first several decades of wholesale truck farming. At that time, we were strictly Asian Chinese cabbages and different varieties of Chinese vegetables, doing wholesale markets in New York City, Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. As we moved forward through the decades into the 80s, my father passed away, and I became involved with the farm along with some cousins of mine. And we continued doing the truck farming on a wholesale basis. But as the years went by, the markets changed dramatically for us. And I was the only one left after 1993 doing farming. Even though I continued with the wholesale distribution of Chinese cabbage, I started diversifying into baby greens, cut flowers, and different mixed vegetables. In the early 2000s, 2001, 2002, I started the transition to natural production, dropping from use any of the chemical pesticides that we had used on a regular basis for herbicides and insect control, weed control, and disease control. We were certified organic in 2007, and by that time, we had expanded the product line to include many things from asparagus to zucchini blossoms. So we've been through a dramatic evolution of sorts, from scale of operation to the size of our product line. Even though we farm much less acreage, perhaps almost one-tenth of what we did before, it's much easier to be able to go to sleep at night and make the business happen. So we're very happy about the evolution and the changes that have gone on with our business and the farm.
That's amazing. And when I spoke with Jen earlier, who works on the farm as part of the family, she mentioned that you guys had started a CSA in the past few years, and that it's been pretty wildly successful.
Yes. We were able and very fortunate to make an association with Just Food. It's a nonprofit organization based in Manhattan, New York City. And they have facilitated for us meetings with community groups in the New York metropolitan area. They have done that for many years. We're sort of new to that community in the city because our CSA, as of this year, this was only our fourth year. But it's been a tremendous program for us to become involved with.
That's amazing. And the CSA, is it just based in, do you do the New York City area, or is it larger, or what's the distribution network for it?
Yep. Well, just going back a little bit, we started in 2006 a local CSA for people that aren't familiar with that acronym, a community-supported agriculture program based on the farm. And we started with only 33 members in 2006. And now we're over 370 members. So we've grown with the trend of buying local and people's interest in wanting to know where their food is produced. But it's a wonderful program, and I can't say enough good things about it.
If I wanted to join the program as a local Brooklynite, how would I go about that?
Well, in Brooklyn, off the top of my head, there might be up to 24 community sites that are serviced by small farms like myself. Some of them are, I think, arranged independently with community groups, directly with farmers. Others have been perhaps facilitated by organizations like Just Food in Manhattan. So what you would do, I guess, you could search on the internet, or you could go directly to their website and see which community you're closest to that's offering a CSA program.
Awesome. Just one more question. What is the your favorite crop that you guys grow? What are you most proud of?
Wow. I guess it would be our heirloom tomatoes. I'm really quite proud of that. We grow up to 40 varieties of cherries, of plum type, and of large beefsteak in all the color assortments, from white to the black, dark maroon type tomatoes, to the variegated colors, greens, the pinks and oranges, and of course the red tomatoes in those three sizes. So it's very popular. It's been a great change for us, and we're really tickled about it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling in and taking some time with us. Thank you again for helping donate food to Dinner with the Band. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to hearing from you and working with you in the future.
Well, that's great. Thank you, too.
Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye. All right, everybody. That was just one of the wonderful farmers from Sangley Farms. If you want to learn more about Sangley Farms, super easy website, www.sangleyfarms.com. You're listening to Snacky Tunes Radio. I am part of your host, Finger on the Pulse. We have Les Savvy Fav chewing on some pizza. Paul Tao, down with some pizza. I'm actually going to be exiting for the day, but Terry Dybog is going to hold it down. And then we're going to hear some more from Les Savvy Fav, and then they're going to play some tunes. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Snacky Tunes on Heritage Radio Network. DJ Never Forget had to leave for a little bit, so I'm taking over his place just to say hello and welcome everyone back. We have the Lasabi Fab guys over here about to do a quick DJ set and hang out with us. Hold on, there's Terry putting his headphones on.
Awesome. Man, you really do have a great voice for radio. So that was just a little Monday afternoon disco set. That was the Chicane featuring Tom Jones, Stoned in Love, Young Punks remix. Before that was Funk Legacy, What You Gonna Do, and then Funnet, I forgot the name of the song, and Mojito remix. I don't know, I just got it. I really like it. So it's good to have you guys back in Brooklyn. Good to see you guys again. What beyond the music, what has got on the horizon? Any good food stories or from the past in Austin? You guys got any meals down in Austin?
Okay, I have family down in Texas. Actually, I have like a bunch of cousins out there. And I have my cousin Chris and my other cousin Wendy. And Wendy and her husband Terry drove us to Lockhart, Texas, which is where they have...
Did you go to Kreitz's?
No, we didn't go to Kreitz's. We drove right past it. It's...
Yeah, I've been to Lockhart.
Huge. Okay. We went to Black's.
Oh, Black's. Did you get the sausage?
Probably. I mean, we kind of get like a little bit of everything and sort of eat off each other's plates.
I think your eyes just glazed over from thinking about how much food you ate.
Oh, I had... What was the second one that we went to?
Was Black's the one where they had this basically the smokehouse in the back?
Yeah, that's okay. The one.
And then the other one that we went had all the sides.
Oh yeah, no. So the first one that we went to, I don't know. I could look on my phone at the pictures. This is Black's one where you walk in and then you walk down like a big long smoky hallway.
Yeah, and then you sort of like you're corralled to like this little like L room, and then you just it feels really cramped. Then you go into you walk out of like where you buy the meat into the dining room.
Yeah, That was the second place we went to. I can't remember the name of the first.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter because the second place we went to was amazing. It was like, it was like medieval looking, you know, like these like cauldrons of brisket and sausage that are smoking. I mean, there's like open fire everywhere, and there is like just like a thin veneer of like basically coagulated fat that covers like every surface of this place.
As a vegetarian, amazing. That sounds really gross.
I'm sure it's amazing. Giant bandsaw to cut the meat.
It's
like a dungeon.
It was really incredible. And then there's these people just line up and they order this stuff by the pound on butcher paper. I mean, big stacks of brisket.
When I went to Kreitz's, because in Austin, you know, you can always get sauce and things like that. Mm. And when I got taken to Kreitz's, I knew enough that they didn't put sauce on the ribs, but I didn't know enough that they just didn't have any sauce at all. And I asked for sauce, and the guy with me just had this like horrified look and just like quietly tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, "They don't do sauce here, so we just need to walk away right now." And it was just like, I was like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry." But they take barbecue serious. I mean, I think that fire crisis has been burning for like 100 years.
I'm sure.
I think they like walked. There's like this rumor. They're like it was in one location, and they walked the embers down the street, and that's where they built the pit around that. I mean, it's nuts.
It's like a religion to those people. It's really something else.
I would say probably the most like religiously applied type of food in America.
I think barbecue is kind of like one of those foods that can be sort of fetishized like that. And
yeah.
I mean, like, you know, people in North Carolina, like they're just as serious about their barbecue and it doesn't involve... It's a totally different animal.
Because it's like vinegar-based.
Pig type pork. You know what I mean? And so you don't really, I feel like you rarely see that. I mean, maybe pizza.
But pizza, I'm just going to say it. New York pizza pretty much is a staple.
Yeah.
I know that other cities do pizza well. I would probably get admonished for this.
Yeah, talk to someone in Chicago.
Oh, okay, Chicago. You're absolutely right. It's like Chicago and New York. But when you think about like barbecue, I mean, you're talking like the whole Deep South, Texas, pockets of New Jersey has like incredible barbecue, like upstate New York. I mean, it really is like regional more than any other food in America. And I think that, I mean, that comes back to a lot of like the immigrants coming over like at the 17th, 18th century. And like, because it's so like, you know, it's like German food or like.
Is actually Native American.
Or Native, yeah.
So, I mean, well, they were everywhere.
Yeah. Roasted meats. Who knew? Yeah. Right?
Were. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yikes. It just got a little deep here. Yeah. So anyway, so why don't you guys set up for a set?
Okay.
And we'll get you guys on for tunes, and we'll chill out with some pizza. Yeah, you can use my headphones. Your computer's up there.
My computer's up there.
I got you set up, buddy. Cool. You're in channel 2. So anyway, so thanks to Lasabi Fav. We'll come back for a little bit. P-Tow, fill in for Never Forget. big shout out to Roberta's for the pizza and for the sponsorship. And
amazing pizza.
Amazing. This Brussels sprout one is like second week in a row and it's delicious. And Jack Inslee, Rec Tech, for doing the show. Make sure to, you know, tune in to Dinner with the Band tomorrow night featuring Les Abbey Fab at 11 p.m. on IFC. But we'll come back in a little bit. You all set up over there?
I am.
All right, here we go. Les Abbey Fab live on Snacky Tunes, heritageradionetwork.com.
We'll be right back.
dream home, a heartache. And every step I take takes me further from heaven. Is there a heaven? I'd like to think so. Standards of living, they're rising daily. But home, oh sweet home, it's only a saying. From bell push to faucet, in smart town apartment, the cottage is pretty, the main house a palace, penthouse perfection. But what goes on, what to do there, better pray there. Open plan living, bungalow ranch style, all of its comforts seem so essential. I bought you mail order, my plain wrapper baby. Your skin is like vinyl, the perfect companion. You float in my new pool, deluxe and delightful, inflatable doll. My role is to serve you, disposable darling. Can't throw you away now, immortal and life-size. My breath is inside you, I'll dress you up daily and keep you till death-size. Inflatable doll, lover ungrateful, I blew up your body. But you blew my mind.
happy. He must be happy in his world. We're only making plans for Nigel. He must be happy, he must be happy in his world. Nigel is a nice spoken man, he likes to speak and he likes to be spoken to.
Everybody, nice little psychedelic rock and roll set from La Savvy Fav. Just fading it out, and we'll talk a little bit about who played. You're listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. We got P-Tal filling in for DJ Never Forget.
Hello.
And La Savvy Fav in the studio. What's up, guys? You doing?
Hey.
Hey. All right. So, anyway, just want to wrap it up and just ask you quickly who played. Who you just played on the in your little set?
Oh, do I, all of them?
No, just riff a few.
Well, Rocky Erickson.
Shout out on Twitter.
I forget who the second guy was.
We had
Highland Band or something like that, and something Harrison had sent me. We tried to do like a little song of the day. Maybe we do this on a weekly basis where we just shoot each other MP3s that we're into at the moment. But last song I played was XTC, Making Plans for Nigel, and that kind of goes out to our bass player Sid. And
the Kinks
that kind of also goes out to Harrison. And then
and what was Tim's song?
Tim's song was Roxy Music, because he's really into psychedelic guitar.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How's Sid's baby?
Good.
Yeah,
that's why his son's name is Nigel.
Oh,
that's hence the song.
There it is,
because he's always making plans for Nigel. He's always making plans around Nigel these days.
I got you. So anyway, just a couple of shout outs. Thank you so much to Roberta's for the lovely pizza and the food, and Jack Insley and Rec Tech. We're still figuring out what we're doing next week. We're either going to be on break or we're going to do a pre-recorded show, because Never Forget and I are taking a little bit of a vacation to the West Coast to clear our brains from season one of Dinner at the Band before we go into the next season.
Good for you.
Just even though we're still, you know, it was planned as a real vacation, but because of, you know, we got pushed back in schedule, it's now sort of like a working from my laptop vacation. But nonetheless, I'll be in San Francisco eating food.
Good, cool.
Hanging out. And really excited for your guys' episodes to come out tomorrow night.
Me too, can't wait.
I think you guys remember how I don't want to say it, but how the show ended.
Yeah.
When you did
vaguely
Bringing Us Down.
Mm.
That's one of the, like, probably one of the best 30 seconds of the show.
Oh, really?
Of the whole season. It is just, it's awesome. But what is it? ... Check it out.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Anything else you guys want to push? You guys got any upcoming shows? Anything you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. We're playing at BAM in Brooklyn on...
End of January.
I think I want to say January 27th, but I could be totally wrong. But if you go to BAM's website and you look at their schedule for next month, we'll be up there. I'm really looking forward to that. I don't quite know what to expect, because is a theater space. It's not like a club.
Are you going to do something like... Because I know that Joanna Newsom and Sufjan Stevens is up there. Are you guys going to bring in like a full orchestra? La Savvy Fav, orchestrated.
A lot of kazoos.
A lot of kazoos and triangles.
Yeah.
Maybe those guys from Fool's Gold who didn't quite make it to the tour with the kazoos and triangles and woodblocks can come out for this show.
They've got some competition.
Awesome. So, bam. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is Tim going to get one of those like Peter Pan harnesses and do a little bit of flying?
You're feeding me all of these ideas right now, so I'm going to say yes to everything because I didn't realize that was even an option.
I mean, it's a theater, right?
Flying harness. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll look into that. And then orchestra, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that might take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, why don't you set it for one last song?
Okay, cool.
We'll toss it out. But again, thank you today. Our guests have been Les Heavy Fav. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Mm-hmm.
And Pete Tao, all the way from L.A.
Heading back in a few days.
Yeah, but hanging out for a couple.
Yeah, it's freezing out here, though.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
it's 80 degrees. Well, I don't know if it's 80 degrees in L.A. now, but it was about a week ago, so I want my palm trees.
The forecast calls you to grow a pair in Sacco.
Yeah, seriously.
It's not even that bad. Building.
I'm Asian. I don't even get any body hair, so, you know, I have to conserve.
He's got a very good point.
Just grab another hardcore sweater.
I have very little body hair, too, though.
Yeah, see, it would take me probably a good 5 to 10 years to get the beard that... Well, actually, all of the facial hair in this entire studio. This is, you know, decades and decades worth of hair right here.
It's not bad.
Yeah, my face is smooth for obviously those of you.
Yeah, but excuse me, but look at all that hair on your head.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, my God.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Look at this.
You gotta cut your losses.
All right. All right.
Mine just migrated down my face.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks again. You've been listening to Snacky Tunes, Heritage Radio.
We'll put one more on.
Yeah, we'll do one more. And again, dinner with the band. IFC, Les Heavy Fav. 11 p.m. tomorrow night. Gonna check out some Les Heavy Pheasant and made with a lot of great produce from Sang Lee. So thank you to them. That's about it. Take us away, Les Heavy Fav.